Welcome to the Hardwater Fishing Show with your hosts, Jeff Byboth and Jason Killaby. We talk tactics, gear, and ice fishing legends.
Well, welcome back to the Hardwater Show. I'm here with my buddy Jeff, and we're on the actually in the third week of January, and we have a great show lined up for you tonight. Later on, after we get through our normal stuff, we have an interview with a fellow by the name of Mark Baumhoff, who created a really cool ice shack, and so we actually called him up and we interviewed him, and so hang around for that. It'll be a lot of fun. But before we get too far.
Yeah, I'm really excited, Jay, our first interview.
I know. I told my wife, and she was like, yeah. And then she went back to watching TV. So she didn't share our enthusiasm at all.
We went international, and we had a guest all in the same time.
I know. That was cool. Hey, we should do what we're drinking tonight, though, shouldn't we?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
What do you got there? Right. What are you drinking? So,
I have a Surly Furious. Pretty awesome. All right. Here we go.
Nice. So, mine won't make any noises. I can try to clink the ice here for the microphone. But as the weather where I'm at is kind of like Kentucky, I am sipping Kentucky whiskey again this evening. It's very warm out, so.
It is warm out. It's like 30-some degrees. Everything's melting around here.
52 today. Ooh, I didn't 52. Even wear pants to work. I do have a memo saying,
Did everybody run?
I have a memo
run?
Saying, Jason, you must wear pants to work starting Monday. So, but anyway, I digress. So how many downloads do we have?
So we are currently at 1.2K. Wow. 1,200.
Holy cow. That's pretty impressive. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for your list. We got to have, maybe it's always a new 200 people, but I think we may have a loyal listener or two. I know your mom listens. So great. That's wonderful.
My mom does listen.
Yeah, I know. Shout out to your mother. Yeah. She's awesome.
Thanks, Mom. You're awesome.
Yeah, she is.
You know, and I should mention too, I have been busy at work, making sure you can get the Hardwater Show anywhere you want to get it. So we are currently on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play Music, TuneIn, Spotify, and Stitcher. So
and Alexa,
if you use any of those
can
apps.
Can you use Alexa?
So I tried to make it work.
You didn't.
I read this thing that you can ask, hey, Alexa, play the Hardwater Show. I tried it. It wasn't working. It's supposed to work, but
we'll forget
about
that.
She was working on it.
But that would be really cool. You need to work on that. And from it there, I thought you said you actually were hard at work. And I'm like, no, probably not. But I'm glad you're hard at work trying to get this stuff to work. So that's good. Good for you. So do you want to talk about this fellow John that's a listener who actually contacted us?
A couple podcasts ago, we were looking at the stats and we saw people from Korea listening to our podcast. You remember that, Jay?
Very exciting. In fact, I told my wife, I said, we're international. And she said, yeah, and went back to watching TV.
Shortly after that episode went out, I got a message on our Facebook page from John, who was a mechanic with the Air Force stationed in Korea. And he told us that they absolutely do ice fish in Korea. Primarily, they have this, they call them cherry trout, that they stock in lakes and people have ice fishing festivals. And he said, usually this is up in the upper elevations. Yeah, it's really cool. Very cool.
You know, I wonder, and I'm just spitballing here. I wonder if President Trump and Kim Jong-un, whatever his name is, sat down in an ice shack if they couldn't figure this whole business out and the world would be a better place. Because I would imagine after a 12-pack and catching some fish, they'd both be in a better mood. I'm just throwing that out there. I don't want to be political, but I do think sometimes using common language helps. So cool. Shout out to John. Thanks for contacting us and thanks for your service and everything you do.
Yeah, thanks for your service for sure. I was excited to hear we're international, that people enjoy the show. Pretty awesome. I just encourage you, check out the webpage again, hardwatershow.com. I will put a few pictures John sent me from Korea of these cherry trout that they catch. Later on, we have Mark on, and he sent me some really awesome pictures and videos of this ice shack we'll be talking about later, and those will all be on the show page, so be sure to check it out. Oh, and I also have an update. So podcasts have this thing called Patreon. So I set it up, and hopefully, maybe if somebody's feeling generous, you can throw a few bucks for production costs to the show. So there's a link to it on the show page. But you know, you can give us $1 or $5 and whatever you want to give us, and we'll throw it towards production costs. So check that out.
When I saw that listed on our topics tonight, I thought it was Patron, and that's what you're drinking tonight.
No, I'm drinking Surly. We are talking Patreon.
Not Patron.
Patreon is what it's called. And not Patron, no. There's no worm involved. this is a way. And there's a couple of bonuses on there. So like if you give us at a certain level, maybe we'll say your name on the show. Or at a certain level, maybe we'd even have you on the show. So check it out and, you know, send us some money. We'd use the money just to offset the costs. I mean, podcasting, the hosting, and you know, various stuff just costs some money that we just pay for ourselves. So it'd be nice to.
Very cool. So do you have a fishing report, Jeff?
So not a personal fishing report. I was not able to get out last weekend. just too much family stuff going on. I know. I mean, it was a good weekend. We just couldn't get out. So I did not get out, but I did get a Mille Lacs report, from two different sources, and the Mille Lacs report I got was slow. I heard they were not catching okay. very much.
So
we also did hear from Dave on Lake of the Woods. Dave also sent us some pictures that made me very envious of very large walleyes and northerns being caught.
Yeah, he was up on Lake of the Woods, right?
Oh yeah, Lake of the Woods.
Yeah, Dave, he wasn't pulling them out of his home base.
No.
Yeah. No. Those, and they were classic Lake of the Woods monsters and caught on the Canadian side, I would imagine, because he was up at Ron's, I believe. So
yeah,
he was
at Ron's.
Up on the Canadian side. I'm gonna zero in. Now, don't hotspot the location, okay? So just for our listeners as a bonus, in the middle of the lake. So like
halfway up
the lake, roughly is where I would say somewhere in there next to the island. So
somewhere between 1 and 200 miles.
Correct. Right in there. And yeah. So if I had to guess, 15 feet of water, cause I know how Uncle Ron fishes. So somewhere in there. So that's, yeah, so I have a fishing report. It's pretty exciting.
Oh, hey, Jay, before you go on, I did have one note on our fishing report.
Okay, go ahead.
So remember a few weeks ago in our gear, we talked about those lures that have glow lights in them?
Yeah. Yep, I bought one.
So Dave said they work.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was my other little tidbit.
Boy, is that a... What a gadget. So you've got now a fishing lure that has a consumable.
It's genius, right? For the person selling you the stuff.
Yeah. I mean, what a marketing thing. So you've got your little jig runs out of glow, and then you got to go find a little glow thing. So, but hey, they work. So I'll buy them.
Yep. I'm the same way. All right. So let's hear about Iowa. That was the Minnesota/Canada fishing report. What's going on in Iowa?
So the Iowa fishing report, I fished a small pond, in a small town. I had a kid event I had to go to. So I halfway there, I went fishing for a couple hours before I had to go. And I caught like two small little sunfish. And then my bobber went down my spring bobber springed once, but I was pretty excited. But they were not wanting any, it was really bright out and very warm. Like I didn't wear a coat. I had on a long sleeve shirt. And it was very bright.
So already you've talked about in this podcast about not wearing pants and not wearing a jacket, but you had a shirt on.
I did have a shirt on. Well, and that was that was last weekend. It was a little colder out yet, so I had pants on and a shirt. And but the interesting thing I would just say is any jigging action and nothing, everything left, like left town. So they just wanted that waxy just hanging out with the smallest thing I could attach to it to get it down the hole. Other than that, they didn't want nothing to do with anything that was movement or flashy or fancy. They just wanted plain Jane. West Okoboji had a over in Western Iowa, had a fellow that I work with over that direction. He gave me a fishing report that, you know, they were there, they were tough. Now here's the interesting thing about this fishing report. He had a big group. They were out with a number of guys, and they had a young couple of young bucks with them that had the fancy rods, like the $100-some-odd custom ice fishing rods.
So are we talking like spinning rods or like those big non, you know, like the, what do they call them? Not open face, the inline or.
No, he didn't talk about the reels. He talked more about the fishing pole itself. Okay. The fishing rod. And, you know, those guys outfished everybody in the whole group consistently every single day.
Wow.
And he's kind of like me. He's like, you know, I'm not going to buy all this fancy stuff because you throw it in the truck and it gets stepped on and then it's broke and there you are, you know. And but he's like, after watching those guys, I'm sitting there fishing with them, fishing with the same lure, doing the same thing, and they're consistently outfishing us every day. They all got limits. You know, we got half a limit. And so, yeah, that's kind of depressing. But, yeah, just kind of wanted to throw that out there that, you know, from his perspective, those more expensive rods were enabling them when the fish were really finicky to catch more fish.
Interesting. We'll have to get some more details on what these rods were besides expensive or fancy.
I can do that. Yeah. Next show, if I remember, I will find out what kind of rods they were.
It kind of reminds me of that fishing report I gave, and I said, well, they caught some fish. And you asked me, well, what depth? And I said, I don't know.
Yeah. I'll find out more information, but I don't know that it's specific to the type of rod, but just rather there was a difference between the $10, $15 Walmart special and the $100, $150 custom rod type deal. So
there's our fishing report, and I hope to have a better fishing report. I am going to get out this weekend. And then we also have the big trip coming up real soon here from Leech Lake. So,
I get to go on that, don't I?
You do.
That's good because we no longer have ice down here. It left. It's still there, but you wouldn't want to walk on it, at least a guy my size. Most of the lakes are, you can't get on the ice. It's all melted around the shores. It's 50 degrees today. So, I mean, there's probably some of the bigger lakes you can, you know, if it freezes back up, it'll be okay. But I don't know. We might be done. I'm depressed. I know.
Yeah, I'll be out on probably Minnetonka this weekend, and I'm sure I'll be driving out there. I mean, there was 3 feet of ice out there last time I was out there. So
if this keeps up, by the time I get back from this next trip, I'm going to get the boat out. Let's set my tip ups out on the boat.
Wow. Well, and you know, I did have a trip planned with some boys from Las Vegas last week, but we had a big snowstorm and they closed the airport, so they didn't come into town. So we rescheduled. So we'll have a Las Vegas ice fishing update after that.
All right. So we got some current events beyond the ice melting in Iowa.
As you know, Jason, the Super Bowl is coming to Minneapolis, right? In like a week.
But is it actually in Minneapolis?
It is actually in Minneapolis.
The Super Bowl is here. But the Vikings, remind me, are the Vikings in that?
The Vikings are not in that game.
Oh, no. Okay. Just checking.
There was a game against the Eagles that maybe didn't go our way. So the Vikings are playing in the Pro Bowl this weekend instead of the Super Bowl next weekend.
Oh, that hurts.
It was a rough game. But, you know, Jason, as a Vikings fan, this is what we expect. I mean,
there is, you know, that.
I've been alive for 42 years, and I think they made the Super Bowl when I was like 2 or something. I don't remember it, but
yeah,
you just kind of used to failure, you know? I mean, there's the 98 season, missed a field goal another year. I mean, it just, there's a video out there that kind of goes through the sadness. So,
well anyways. Okay, so move on from the sadness. What do you got?
So the Super Bowl's coming here. It's a big deal. Like, celebrities are coming. You know, lots of people from all over the world. They're shooting the Tonight Show in Minneapolis. So there's a lot going on.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. But the ice fishing link here is that there was a video. They have a lot of rooftop kind of things now are really popular. You know, you have rooftop bars, rooftop parties. They're just kind of a thing now. So they're having a Minnesota experience on the roof of the, I believe it was the WCCO building, downtown Minneapolis.
Okay.
And so they had a crane that, and it's only a one-story building, but they had a crane that lifted a ice castle on top of the building so that it was part of the Minnesota experience for this rooftop party that they had on the building. So they had it looked like maybe like a 20-foot ice castle that they just put on top of a building in the middle of Minneapolis.
Very cool.
So that was interesting. That was really the only current event I had. You know, Super Bowl's coming, and I guess they talk about ice fishing just a tiny, tiny bit.
That's cool. Will anybody be in the ice shack, do you think?
I don't think anybody was in the ice shack while they were lifting it. I don't know what they're doing up there. I'm sure celebrities with VIPs way beyond my credentials would be there. And we will be ice fishing, so we won't be anywhere near Minneapolis. We'll be up in Leech Lake.
And all that will be over by the time we have to drive back through that town, right?
Oh, I'm sure everybody bails right after the game.
That's the last thing, a traffic jam I want to get caught in.
Yeah. LA is in Minneapolis for like one day and then it goes back to normal. So,
you know, what would really make that fun would be a good snowstorm.
Oh, yeah. That would be interesting. That would be interesting. So, I know today they'd be like, what's the big deal? It's 40 degrees outside.
But, I know. It can change on a dime. All right. Gear update.
I saw this thing called 1 minute at a time.
I've seen this.
I don't know that I want one. I just thought it was an interesting contraption, and I respect contraptions when it comes to ice fishing. I mean, they're part of the culture, right? I mean, you have to have gadgets and, you know, gizmos and those kind of things. It just looked interesting.
Yeah, so I've seen this, and I saw this because I was looking for a new bait bucket. And so I kind of was Googling around, and so I watched the YouTube video of the creator of the 1 minute at a time. And when he showed you how to use it, he actually got 2 minnows.
So they should rename it 1 or 2 minnows at a time.
It should be 1, like in quotation marks, minnow at a time. And they actually sell it at one of the bait shops by me. And it looks kind of cool-ish. I don't know. Boy, I don't know for ice fishing if you know, I think it could freeze up again, but it'd kind of be fun for the summer. I don't know. It people buy it. Good for them.
It's kind of like a bait water park. Like, you know, you pull your minnow up and they go down the slide and fall into your hand. I don't know.
And you can put them back up the slide if you need to. I watched him do that. So
when he got 2 and had to put 1 back.
Yeah, 1 had to go home.
It looked pretty significant. Like, it was big, right? Like, it was kind of a big thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was like a 2.5 gallon pail.
Yeah. I think
would be about the size. Have you ever seen those things? My brother-in-law had one, and it works pretty good for the first 2/3 of the minnows. It's just a little a scoop, And it's really cool. It's just a little scoop thing, and it's got a hole in one side. It's like a cylinder, and you put it in your bait bucket, and a minnow always swims in it.
Oh,
and then you pull it up, and you got one minnow, and you dump the minnow out, and it's really good. Yeah, it works. It does work until you get down to like the last third of the minnows, and then I think they've caught on because they won't go in it anymore. Seriously, or like the minnows inclined to go in that thing are gone, and then the rest won't. But for the first two thirds of your minnow bucket, it works really well. I'll try to find a picture of it and put it on the site, or let's be realistic, I'll send it to you and you'll put it on the site.
Yeah, I'll get that done, Jay.
You know, we're gonna have a pretty busy site. I'll show you, because actually that does work. It does work. And it would maybe work for winter fishing too. I guess I kind of forgotten about it till you mentioned the one minnow at a time, but it does work. I don't even know what in the heck it's called. While you're talking about your next thing, I'll see if I can figure it out.
I remembered this. This was kind of when I was thinking about gear, because I always think about fishing gear. Last year, I was on Lake of the Woods, and we were at Artisan's Rocky Point. I call this country club fishing, right? So it's one of those places where you go up there, and they have the big tracked machine. They used to call them bombardiers, but they're not really bombardiers anymore. They're just like a big van with tracks on it. We were up there, and, you know, we catch a lot of fish up there, a lot of walleyes. Not as big as on the Canada side, but lots of fish. And we hooked into a gigantic northern. And when I say gigantic, I think it was like 35, 36 inches or something like that. So not a trophy, but a nice pike, right? Big dog.
Yeah, yeah.
I am there fishing with the guy I'm fishing with. One of them is from Texas, and he has never ice fished before. And he's got one of my rods with, I think it might have been the one with the president on there. So a rod with a decent reel on it. And so we're fishing like 4-pound test, but he manages, we coach through it, and, you know, he manages to get the northern up through the hole, which it was impressive for somebody that's never ice fished before and has got a big northern on 4-pound test line with a spinning reel. So we get it up there, and, you know, it's always, now you're at that point that, I mean, I got his head through the hole, but you're at that point where you're like, how the heck do I get a 36-inch northern out of the hole, right? I mean, you can do what Ron did that one time and just grab it.
Yep, people do that.
With your hand, and then blood is start spurting all over the place because they do have large teeth. Right? You know, some people use a gaff, right? I mean, you can carry a gaff with you. One, I don't carry a gaff.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of those because they injure the fish, right?
They do injure the fish. And they also are kind of big, and you got this big pointy thing. I think Oli has that gaff, and he's got a little cork on the end of it. You know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah, and then if you get drunk and somebody starts playing with it, things can go south.
Yeah, so there's that option. Or these, so somebody in our fishing crew, Bill, from our fishing crew that was up there, he had this cool thing. I'd never seen one before. They're called a lip grip. This thing was made by Rapala, but basically you grab the fish by the lip and it grabs onto their lip. And it, I mean, there's a bone in there, right? And you can pull it right out of the hole with this thing. I mean, it's only probably 12 inches long and it's got like just two little things on the end, and you grip their jaw with it and pull them out. And I mean, it worked awesome. I mean, we pulled this 36 inch northern right out of the hole, no damage to the fish. It was great.
So very cool.
Yeah, so I bought one. He had the Rapala brand, which is a little more expensive, and I was cheap, so I bought a knockoff one off of Amazon for like $12. It worked great. So hopefully we'll be catching some big fish up at Leech Lake, and we'll drag one out with it and see how it works.
You need to use that on every fish you catch, regardless of size.
How about the really big perch, the one we get all the meat off of?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. I think you know, whatever fish Oli catches, every time you see him, you should run over and grab his thing by the face with your lip grip.
Well, first I'd have to back him off. He'd have the gaff. He'd be uncorking the gaff, you know, for this big fish. And I'd be like, no, I've got this. We're going to use that lip grip.
That could get ugly if you get a gaff in the wrong spot. So I found what I was talking about. It's called the Take One Minnow Scooper.
Oh.
And they're like $5.
Wow. Pretty expensive.
Yeah. So, yeah, I know they are. But they will guaranteed to get 2/3 of your minnows out of the bucket.
Oh, I expect you to show up next week with one of these things. So
probably not.
They're probably not.
Probably right. not. No, we're getting outside of the shipping. We're getting outside the shipping window.
Yeah, I know. I know. You're like, oh, I need this. And then you can't get it. All right. So I think we're ready to start our interview with Mark.
Yeah, that'd be great. Let's get him on the line and listen to what he has to say.
All right. It should be coming up next. So today on the Hardwater Fishing Show, we have Mark Baumhoff, who created this really awesome ice shack like nothing I had ever seen before. So I saw it on, I just had to get an interview. So Mark, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're really excited. And so we just kind of had a few questions just to get to know you a little better. So what part of the, well, I said country, which might be the wrong question, but so where do you ice fish?
I'm actually up in Canada. I live in Manitoba. I'm from Winnipeg. I do most of my summer fishing in Ontario, and my winter fishing I do mostly in Manitoba. I once in a while head out to Lake of the Woods, like to Ontario, but yeah, most of it is in the wintertime is definitely in Manitoba.
Cool. Yeah. Jason and I have been to Lake of the Woods a few times.
I have. Yeah. Yep. I've wandered around parts of Ontario as well, but not very far over the border. So you actually, Mark, live where I want to always go. So you're very fortunate to live where fishing is much better than where I live, which is Iowa. So I'm a little jealous.
I grew up in Winnipeg and like I've been here my whole life. And I remember my dad taking me fishing as a kid. And like I knew fishing was good here. And then like I can remember watching fishing shows and stuff like that and them coming to Lake Winnipeg and to Lockport, like Selkirk, Lockport and stuff. And it's just, you don't realize what you have until you get a little older and you realize, man, like I literally live in the Mecca of fishing. Like it's world-class fishing all around me. Like within a 2-hour drive, I've got Lake of the Woods. I've got Lake Winnipeg. I've got Lockport. Like I can go fishing for some really big fish all right close by.
So do you guys ever say, you know, I think we should go try Iowa fishing and see what that's about? Do you guys like vacation in the States, like Iowa, where the fishing's not as good, and try to fish just for like for extra to try out, you know, like to see how good you really are?
You know, like I don't target a ton of species at this point because I haven't been fishing for very long, but I'm sure there's friends that of mine that would go down for some stuff. I don't know what you guys got down there, but most of us, I won't lie, we actually venture usually further north or to Lake of the Woods.
So you mentioned you don't fish for that many species. What's your favorite species to fish for?
Well, I would say my favorite's probably walleye, just because it's the one species that I keep to eat. Yeah, something about that white meat is delicious. So, yeah, my family, like, I just kind of got into fishing kind of full force about 2 years ago. And, yeah, it was my buddy actually tossed me a bag of walleye and said, here, try this out, for helping them out. And I kind of YouTube some videos on how to cook this stuff. And we kind of made up our own little fish batter and yeah, we pan fried it up. And then, yeah, my whole family just like eyes lit up like, wow, this stuff is awesome. And so I just told my friend like, hey, like you want to teach me how to catch these fish? Like like I said, I can remember going fishing as a kid, but I don't remember what I fished for. I mean, I was like 5 years old, you know? And so, yeah, ever since then, we've been catching walleye and bringing it home to eat, you know. And in the springtime, I often go fishing for catfish with another friend of mine here. And, you know, that's kind of up by Lockport, but we don't keep the catfish, you know. Like, they're a good time, but we just catch and release it. This winter, I'm trying to take up a little bit more fishing for lake trout. So, same thing. It's, you know, it's not that white meat, so I'm not really interested in keeping it. It's more of a catch and release kind of have a sport, you know. It's not necessarily for eating. It's not the necessity of life, if you want to say. So yeah, I'd say fishing for walleye is probably my favorite, just because I get to bring it home and watch everybody enjoy it.
So then, like, you just woke up one day and said, sketched out on a napkin, I'm gonna build this amazing fish house that the world has never seen, and just did it one day, like in the morning or what? How did you get to this ice shack? How was this thing born?
Last winter I went ice fishing for the first time in like probably 25 years or 20 years. And I had a great time. I just always had cold feet. And I always went with a friend of mine because I didn't have any of my own gear. I just had my fishing rods. And he's like, you know what? I've got everything. Just come with me. Okay. So I'd go fishing. Every time I'd have cold feet because we just had a little pop-up and a single little sunflower heater. And I'm just sitting there and bundled up in my snowsuit. And he's cooking away because he's got the heat on and he's a little warmer blooded than I am. And I'm just like, you know, like, this is fun and all, but I would like to go fishing when I want to go fishing and I would like to have warm feet, you know? So yeah, I just started to think, hey, I knew if I wanted warm feet, I needed to be off the ice. And same thing, I knew if I wanted to get off the ice, I was going to probably spend some nights in there, you know, doing some fishing trips up north, looking for Lakers. So I thought, okay, if I'm going to sleep in this thing, I don't want to be listening to a soft wall tent flapping away all night long. So I'm like, hey, I got to build this thing a hard wall, but I didn't have the budget for a trailer. So I was like, well, what can I do? Like, maybe there's some kind of folding hard walls out there. So I literally just started Googling and YouTubing folding ice shanties. And I came across a couple of them. There wasn't a ton out there. And I basically kind of took ideas from the ones that I liked and just thought, oh, how can I use this? How can I utilize it? And I eventually came up with my little 6x8 ice fishing shack. And it was originally supposed to be a 6x10, but as we were building it, my dad and I were like, ah, this is pretty long. I don't know if I need the extra 2 feet. It would be nice to keep it a little bit smaller and a little bit lighter. So we actually lopped off 2 feet of it and just made it a 6x8. And so far it's something different. It's nice to have it fold down. I can kind of put it on the back of my truck and I don't have to use a trailer. I don't have to use anything. I can use the truck to tow it around on the ice. You know, it's a lot more compact than most guys' hard wall shack, you know?
How heavy is this thing?
I've never actually weighed the shack. If I had to take a wager, a stab at it, I'd probably guess it in the 300 to 350 pounds. I'm going to say that as the high side, simply because I can pick up one side of it. Okay. Granted, I'm, you know, 6 foot and 220 pounds, but I mean, it's still a hefty lift for me, but I can still lift one side. I remember looking at the material list and they had a weight on there. And so I'm doing the math and how much of the material we used and blah, blah, blah. And yeah, I'm guessing it's somewhere in the 300 pounds.
That's a pretty good weight. If you look at some of those really big portable shacks, I mean, they get up over 200 pounds, some of those really big ones. So it's impressive to get it by with that weight.
Yeah, it was my goal to try and keep it as light as possible. So it was it's tough because in Canada, we don't really get kind of the same building materials that you guys have easy access to. So it definitely makes things a little more difficult. And to get the materials that some of you guys can get is way more expensive. So it throws the budget out and you just can't do it, you know?
I would be willing to bring you a piece of polystyrene insulation for like a fishing trip if you ever need one. Just let me know. I'll bring it to you.
The insulation cost was almost half of the shack.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So what do you heat that thing with?
I made my own heater, actually. I'm up here in Canada. We have a used website called Kijiji. And I was just surfing Kijiji, and I saw this little 12-gallon drum in the summertime. I was like, man, what can I use that for? And same thing, going back to last winter fishing, I just thought, oh, you know, I'd like to have a heater that I can cook on. You know, if I want to cook something, whether it be pan fry some fish or, you know, maybe throw some garlic sausage or farmer sausage and hot dogs or burgers, I'd love to be able to cook on it. So I took this 12-gallon drum, I put a King Cooker burner in the bottom of it, and I put a chimney coming out. So basically it's like a propane barbecue with a chimney, so I can open it up, I can put stuff in there, cook it, and you know, it doesn't smoke out the shack because the chimney goes out. You never smell the propane, nothing. It's just a nice dry heat, kind of like a wood stove, you know. It sucks all the moisture out of the air, and it's fantastic. It's hot, real hot. It's almost too hot.
Just kind of like a radiant heat.
almost.
Yeah, it's not like an infrared heat. Like, it's not like a sunflower. It's literally a burner in the bottom of this barrel, like this barrel standing up. You'll see in the pictures. Yeah, it's just a burner that kind of cut a couple holes in the bottom of this barrel. And this barrel stands vertically in the shack, and there's literally like a propane burner just sitting in the bottom, blazing away. And yeah, I can send you a picture of the actual burner and the stack inside of it and whatnot. And yeah, basically all the hot air rises to the top and gets trapped there. And the chimney outlet is actually down low, kind of closer to the burner. So the hot air is forced up, stays up top, and then only the cold air settles and goes out the chimney.
Oh, that's really cool. I noticed how well it fit there too, because you know when it folds down, the stove is actually the right height so that it fits inside the bottom half.
That was actually one of the problems I had, was it's not the right height. So I take the chimney off every time and I take it out, and then I built a leg for the stove that's folding, so I can just fold the stove over and lay it down.
Very cool.
And then it's the right height. So when I knock it all down,
yeah, I think what surprised me the most was, you know, I was looking at those pictures in the video and I'm like, wow, that's really cool. And then I saw the rig you had on the back of your truck to haul it off and on. And I'm like, wow, I've never seen anything like that before.
Yeah. And again, when I first started building the shack, my goal was to keep it as light as possible. I thought, okay, if it's me and a buddy out there, I need to keep it light enough that we can each grab a side at the front, lift it onto the truck, walk to the back, and lift it up and push it onto the truck. And then kind of while we were building it, my dad says to me, like, you know, what if when your son grows up and you want to take him ice fishing with you, because he's only two right now, you know, if you're by yourself, how are you going to get this thing on and off the truck? And it's kind of like an aha moment. Like, I always knew I wanted to take my son fishing with me, but it's just, I never thought about loading it on and off without him. Or without a friend of mine, you know, like my son at 8 years old is not going to be able to do that, you know? And so it was kind of an instant, okay, I got to figure this out. And so for about a week straight, I kind of thought about what to do. And yeah, the little hook lift idea kind of stole, again, ideas from different areas. You know, one from a hook lift roll off garbage truck. And then another, actually, if you look at guys that do snowmobiling, there's a style of lift they use for getting their snowmobiles on and off the back of their truck. And so I kind of, again, squished that all together into one idea and modified it to fit for my truck, just because it's higher than normal in terms of like the snowmobile decks kind of slip into the box, whereas this has to go on top of the box. So I had to kind of modify that and same thing, make sure it was all going to work with the shack. And then I had to build a mount for the shack. And it was quite the process to make sure it was all going to work together.
You know, a form of that would work even for loading some of those big portables up on top of an upper rack on a pickup, if a guy made a kind of a carriage for it almost. So that was a really neat idea how you came up with that. I really like that.
I appreciate that. Yeah, it works really, really well. I mean, as long as you've got enough height to lift it, it works really well. Like you'll see the loading arm, if it goes below, say horizontal, it doesn't load after that, because then it kind of goes past the fulcrum point, I guess you could say. So it needs to stay above that, which is why the shack, the attachment point at the shack actually has to be a certain height as well. And it's kind of a complicated little system, but once you kind of look at it and think about it, it goes pretty easy. And yeah, it slips on there like effortlessly. It's kind of nice to be able to push a button and load your 300-pound shack on the back of your truck. And, you know, I think it takes like 20 seconds, not even.
I usually try to just act busy so that my buddies lift the shack on before I'm like, oh, I would have helped you.
Oh, you guys are done already.
And that's worked for years, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So how many people can fish out of that at once? I mean, how many holes you got in the floor?
I got 8 holes, 4 down each 8-foot wall. I made it so that I could comfortably fish 2 guys in there. There's a table that fits between them. You can literally turn and face each other, play cards, eat dinner, whatever you want to do. Basically like a cabin in the middle of the woods. And then if you really wanted to pack, you could do 3 guys in there. So the 2 guys would now, instead of being on the opposite wall of the stove, they would sit beside the stove. And they'd cover 1 hole each in the corners. And then the hole right beside them, right next to the stove on each side, there'd be another guy opposite the stove, and he would fish those two holes, and the two guys on the same side as the stove would fish the two holes that they used to be sitting on, if that kind of makes
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So, Mark, anytime somebody builds something, they're always thinking, okay, what would I do different next time? What would you do different next time, if anything?
The door jamb, I would probably change where I put the door on the shaft. I would add the extra 2 feet now that I have a manual loader. Again, because I'm not lifting it anymore, I could have gone away with the 10-foot length instead of an 8-foot length, and I would have put the door on one of the longer walls, just because it makes the shack a little more rigid that way. Where it's at now, the way I have it kind of constructed, the shack makes it's a little more I don't want to say flimsy, it makes it sound like a piece of junk, but it's a little more, it can move the shack and tweak and move a little bit more on the ice and on the snow. I would probably tweak my lift system a little bit. My lifting arm kind of gets really close to horizontal, and that's where it's the least efficient. If I lifted the mount on the shack and I made my lift arm about 6 inches longer, it would bring that lift arm up about a foot taller, which would dramatically increase the efficiency when it first starts to pull, because that's, well, we know, like, ice shacks freeze to the ice, right? That's kind of what they do. So the first little tug of it trying to lift it up onto the truck is pretty tough when it's frozen. So sometimes you got to give her a little, you got to give her a little loving to get her up there. But I think if I made that mount 6 inches taller and that arm 6 inches longer, it would be enough that it would pull it by itself.
Mark, one thing I was thinking about when we were talking about this, I feel like this it has a name. Like, do you have a name? What do you call this ice shack?
It's funny. I usually name all of my projects, and they're usually pretty quick to come to me. But I have not named this one yet, and I just can't put my finger on it. And I've tossed around a couple, and I just nothing is stuck yet. Nothing. It'll come.
Maybe we need a listener contest to help name Mark's Ice Shack. We don't know if anyone will actually contact us, but if we get any responses, we'll let you know.
Sounds good, yeah.
Hey, your pickup, is that an 8-foot box or a 6-foot box on that pickup that you're using to haul it?
It's a 6.5 foot box, and the shack is, yeah, it's 8 long, and there's like 4 inches at the front for just a little pickup on the skis. And then of course the winch is up front on the box too. So it's right around 1.5 foot that hangs off the back. So it's not too bad.
And the walls are constructed. Is that like, is there an insulation in between there? You mentioned that you had to buy some insulation.
Yeah, it's a plywood outer, and then I use 2x2s to frame each piece. So there's no actual studs in it. It's just a plywood. Basically, you cut all your pieces of plywood, and then I went around the each piece of plywood with a 2x2, and then in between each 2x2 section, I glued an 1.5 inch styrofoam.
Okay, sure. That makes a lot of sense. And what kind of glue did you use?
The styrofoam, I used PL foam glue. It's basically designed to foam to whatever, and then for all the plywood joints and basically all the wood joints, I used PL Premium. It's just always been a fan favorite for my family. We use it for everything.
And everything's holding up real well. How many outings have you had in it, roughly?
Well, I was kind of late to the game, so I got one in before my holidays, and then I went for holidays, and now I've got one in after it. And so far, things are holding up pretty decent. There's been a little bit of damage to it that I'm gonna work on getting fixed this week, but it's more so just, you can't think of everything until you get it out there and start working on stuff. And you're like, hey, that's got to change. So change that, change this. So my last outing, I was dragging it across the lake with the winch cable, and it was whipping around behind the truck, and must have grabbed a chunk of snow or ice or whatever, and I busted off part of one of my runners. So I gotta cut the runner off, reinforce that one, and reinforce the other ones and whatnot, and redesign my drag system so I'm not dragging it with the winch cable. I'm gonna try and drag it with the hook instead.
Here's what I think, Mark. I think you should build the 10 footer. And I think that we should come get this one from you because you need to do it better.
You know what? I wouldn't say no to that.
Ooh,
Just
that sounds
because a
like
10
a
footer would be.
that
So
sounds
just let
awesome.
us know. All right. We're always looking for stuff. And Jeff's wife really appreciates.
You guys come for a road trip, I'll take you fishing, and you can leave with a nice shack.
Be careful what you say. Have Suburban, we'll travel.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. Well,
we bought some big walleye up here. I just caught a 30 and a quarter on the weekend, so we're more than well equipped to give you a good time.
Mark, is there any parting words or thoughts that you wanted to give us?
Pretty much the sky's the limit. I've had lots of compliments and lots of people say what an amazing shack it is, and sometimes wonder why other people don't do it. You know, it's if you can dream it, just do it. You know, like if there's something that you don't like about a style of something, you know, think of a solution, and there's always a solution out there. You know, you don't want cold feet and you end up building a shack that folds up like a deck of cards and you know, is like nothing else anyone's ever seen before. And there's always a solution to a problem. And if there's something you don't like, just change it.
That's probably is the most inspirational thing we've heard on this show. And I imagine it will be for some time. So thank you very much. Thank you very much for that. I feel like I have to go out now and re-examine my whole life.
You're going to re-trick out your trap.
I'm going to go look at it right now and ask it what it needs to become. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Mark.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Well, thanks. It was great to hear Mark. And now I think we're ready for our legend, right, Jeff? How's your beer coming?
My beer, it's getting down there. Although my Furious comes in 16 ounce size instead of 12 ounce size. So there is a little bit more left than I would normally have. But I mean, that was a great interview we did with Mark. It was super awesome. So, I mean, I'll make sure this beer gets taken care of.
And I'm hoping to have a fishing report from his place sometime. Go up there to Canada and do some fishing with him.
Absolutely. I mean, it sounds awesome up there.
Well, is you ready for your legend? Ready for your story time?
Yeah, I think we're ready for the legend. Let's go ahead you're going to tell the legend tonight, right, Jay?
Yeah, we've been starting with a lot of old legends, and I think we're going to keep that going because sometimes the memory makes stories grow fonder, I think. But this was a long time ago, back when we used to go to my old place called the Red Shed, and it literally was an old travel trailer. And it was old. Oh, my gosh. Old enough that the women quit going up to it. They wouldn't go anymore. And so that was about the same time we decided to start going up there ice fishing. And so we that particular year, it was so cold. It was like 30 below. I mean, that first couple of years we went up there, every year it seemed to get colder up there.
We had a frost line in the cabin.
We did. So cold. That was the year we had the frost line on the trailer and inside. Because it was an old metal
inside, know, yes, trail. Inside.
Yeah, there it was a frost inside, line. And it took like 4 days. We were only up there four nights, maybe. By day three, we finally had the frost line out of the thing. But apparently, that year, if you remember, Jeff, we had wildlife hibernating in the cabin, in the ceiling, and when it started to warm up, they woke up, and so. When you'd hit the one side of the trailer, it'd run down to the other side at night, and then it'd be scratching around, and then you guys would pound on the ceiling, and then it'd run back the other way. And so it didn't get any sleep, and neither did we. But that year, if you remember, it hauled in like these huge mushrooms into the cupboard.
Oh, yeah, the mushrooms.
And, like, these monster mushrooms. It was a red squirrel, I think, is what it was. And then it filled like one whole corner of a cupboard up with pine nuts. Like how neurotic do you have to be? Cause those are tiny it was like half a gallon of pine nuts in this cupboard. But if it was, you know, if it was preparing itself for a long winter, it was right. Cause that was a really long, cold, lots of snow winter, if I remember right. But yeah, that squirrel was probably glad when we left, and we were probably glad when we left that year. But that was the legend of the squirrel. Those red squirrels, gosh, they're miserable.
Yeah, that was, it's always funny when you go to the Red Shed and you turn the heat on, or it gets warmer, and the place kind of comes alive like that sometimes.
All sorts of things came alive. In the spring, you'd turn it on, and all the ladybugs would come alive.
Yes, I remember
this is like
that.
Two legends for one. This wasn't an ice fishing legend, but we brought I brought Kat, my oldest daughter. She's just like a toddler, a little older that one year. And she came home, and instead of singing, when she came up, she was singing the Monkees Jumping on the Bed song. She must have learned it in preschool. And we went home. It was Ladybugs Jumping on the Bed was the name of the song that year. So, yeah, the old red shed, God rest its soul.
We had some good times there, Jay.
Oh, good times, good times. You bet. Well, I suppose I'm out of drink. So, thank you all for joining us tonight, and you guys have a good week.